Well, good morning again. It's good again to come into God's Word after a short break over the last 2 weeks, having looked at Palm Sunday and then Easter Sunday. It's time for us to get back into the book of Hebrews again. We're studying in chapter 3 today, and we're going to be reading from verse 7 through to verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 3. But first, a word of prayer. Lord, again, as we look at a very difficult passage today, Lord, I just pray that you would be the one who prompts us and speaks into our lives and into our hearts. For Lord, even in this passage, we come into the understanding that it's you are the one who encourages and speaks into people's lives and draws them to yourself. So, Holy Spirit, I release you today just to speak into our hearts and lives. Amen. Well, let me read for us. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert. When your fathers tested and tried me for 40 years, saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation and said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unrepentant heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been called, sorry, as has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt, and with whom he was angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Friends, we're living in a world in search of meaning and inner peace. During this last week, I listened to a discussion on this particular subject on the radio. I just caught a poor part of it. I turned in late, so I didn't get the names of the people who have been interviewed. But one of the participants mentioned a course at Yale University, one of the most famous universities in the world, which has now become the most popular course in the university's 316-year history. The lecturer is Yale Professor Lori Santos, and the title of the course is this: Psychology and the Good Life. More than 25% of all the students on the university are taking the course. Friends, people are looking for inner peace. Subjects covered in the course include those delivered on weekly installments, about 20 hours of work, misconceptions about happiness, why our expectations are so bad, how we can overcome our biases, stuff that really makes us happy, putting strategies into practice. In other words, just another self-help you course, just at a higher level. You know, for me, the funny thing is that Solomon wrote about this stuff 3,300 years ago. in the book of Ecclesiastes, his opening words are, "Meaningless, meaningless," says the teacher. "Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Generations come and go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning to its course." Friends, Solomon, all his wisdom, was looking for inner peace. Well, this particular passage deals a little bit with that. And I've called my message by quite a harsh title. It's simply this: reasons why some are going to hell and others are going to heaven. Why have some people got peace? Why are they going to heaven? Why are they going? What do they have that others don't have? Why are some so driven and so unfulfilled? Well, this is what the passage says. Friend, some are going to hell because their hearts have been hardened. Right throughout this passage, right from the start, verse 7, as the Holy Spirit says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert." And then further on, verse 15, as has been said, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as you did in the rebellion." Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? Friends, we learn a lot about hardened hearts from this passage. First of all, hearts grow hard over a long period of time. Friend, you don't just turn your back on Christianity. You don't just wake up one morning and say, "No, I don't really want to be a Christian anymore." Friends, they grow hard over a period of time. Israel rebelled over a period of 40 years, friends. Ask a person who's an alcoholic. Were they an alcoholic the first time they took a drink? No, friends. The sad reality is hearts grow hard over a long period of time. When you've turned against God, when you've rejected God, over a long period of time, your heart grows hard. Secondly, hearts grow hard through our own choices. Verse 16 says, "Who were they who heard and rebelled?" The reality is, friends, there was a group of people who chose to rebel against God. In the town of Ephesus, in Acts chapter 19, Paul is in the town of Ephesus. It says in Acts chapter 19, verse 8 and 9, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. The word there is the same word as the word hardened. Some of them hardened their heart. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. Friends, people choose. They choose to become hard-hearted. It's a sad reality that many refuse to change. That's the sad reality. Hearts grow hard, friends, through our own choices. But they also grow hard through God giving us what we want. Sometimes God aids people to receive what they wish. Remember the story of when the Israelites left Egypt. There were the story of the plagues. Pharaoh, friends, it tells us in the first six plagues, it said Pharaoh hardened his heart. God did something miraculous. Pharaoh said the people could go. Then he decided against it. It says he hardened his heart. But then after the sixth plague in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 12, it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. We also read in Romans chapter 9 and verse 18, where it's talking about the sovereignty of God. It says, therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy and hardens whom he wants to harden. Friends, sometimes God gives us what we want. If we want to have a hard heart, God will harden our hearts. That's the sad reality. Hearts grow hard because God gives us what we want. Number four, hearts grow hard, friends, when we question God in spite of all the evidence. Friends, of all the nations that ever lived the face of this earth, of all the people that ever walked the face of earth, perhaps other than those that walked with Jesus, God had done more miracles with this particular group of the nation of Israel who left Egypt than anybody else. Yet, they continued to want to go back to Egypt. God saved them by the blood painted on the doorframes of their houses. How ridiculous. Just imagine, one day you hear a message, paint the blood on your door frames, and the angel is coming over, and the next day all the firstborn children of Egypt are dead, and none of the firstborn children of Israel are dead. Man, that's a wake-up call. He opened the Red Sea before him. The army of Pharaoh was coming to kill them all. Before them was a body of water they could not cross. God parted the waters and they went across. He led them with a pillar of fire and a cloud during the daytime. Friends, the very presence of God was with them. He gave them the Ten Commandments. He sent them manna and meat every day. Eish, how lucky they were. But friends, hearts grow hard when we question God in spite of all the evidence. The sad reality is, friends, God has blessed many people, and yet they continue to reject him. Sadly, it seems like the more they are blessed, the quicker they reject. So firstly, people are going to hell, friends, because their hearts are hardened. Number two, they're going to hell because their hearts are sinful and unbelieving. In verse 12, it says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. That little combination, sinful, unbelieving heart, is found only here in all Greek literature, including the Bible. Friends, the phrase suggests that it is not that they are not able to believe. It suggests, rather, that they refuse to believe. It's not that they don't believe anything. They believe other things, but they refuse to believe in God. Many in what were previously Christian nations have rejected the Bible because of what we now know as the Enlightenment. I wonder if it really was an enlightenment. I wonder if In fact, it wasn't the deception. My biggest frustration is that many in these first world nations have rejected the Bible without ever even reading the book for themselves. The lack of biblical knowledge amongst first world people is embarrassing. Young people know more about Harry Potter than they do about the parables. Friends, their hearts are unbelieving. They are choosing not to believe. That's why they're going to hell. It's not that they can't believe. They've purposely chosen to reject the God of the Bible. Number three. Let's never lose sight of this. Some are going to hell because their hearts are deceived. Verse 12 says, "See to it, brothers," into verse 13, "that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Friends, the devil is the deceiver. He deceived Adam and Eve in the garden. In John chapter 8, we learn about the devil. It says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's business. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Revelation tells us in chapter 12 and verse 9, "The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray." Why are some going to hell, friends? Because Satan has deceived them into believing in him and rejecting God. People are going to hell, friends. They're going to hell because their hearts are hardened, their hearts are sinful, and their hearts have been deceived. But the passage doesn't end there, fortunately. It also tells us why some are going to heaven. Some are going to heaven, first of all, because they have obeyed the word of God. Verse 7 says, "So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice," verse 15 says again, and just as it's been said, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." Friends, God has spoken. When it says, "Today, if you hear his voice," it's talking about God's word. For this is a quote out of Psalm 95. Psalm 95, verses 7 to 9, and further says this, "For he is our God, and we are his people, and his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as you did at Meribah, as you did on the day of Massah in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I had done." Friends, some are going to heaven because they have obeyed God's word. God's word speaks, friends. God's word is powerful. God's word is Jesus as he speaks into our hearts and our lives. Secondly, some are going to heaven because they have responded to the Spirit's prompting. Verse 7 says, "As the Holy Spirit says." Friend, God works in our hearts and our minds and our lives through the Holy Spirit. I can't make anybody a Christian. Nobody can make somebody else believe in God other than God himself. God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, works in the lives of people. And if you've heard the voice of the Spirit in your heart and you have quenched the Holy Spirit, friends, that is the only unforgivable sin there is. The quenching of the Holy Spirit is when you hear His voice and you do not respond to it. God has given us His Spirit to reveal Himself to us. In John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said." And in that great passage in Ephesians chapter 1, where it talks about that we have spiritual blessings, every spiritual blessings in Christ. Well, how do we get them? In verse 13 and 14, it says this: "But you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth." This sounds a little bit like this passage we're dealing with, the gospel of your salvation. "Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory." Friend, God speaks through His word and through His Spirit. As the Bible is opened up to us, there are many testimonies out of the Gideons who leave little Bibles in hotels, of people who picked up a Bible and just read a Bible, and the Spirit of God took that little Bible and spoke into their hearts and their lives, and they responded and became believers right there. Nothing else, just the Bible and the Spirit of God awakening them to the truth in the Bible. Thirdly, some are going to heaven, friends, because they are holding on to Jesus as tightly as possible. Look at verse 14. "We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly to the end the confidence we had at first." Some of us, and I include myself in that number, are hanging on for all it's worth. Maybe I'm too stupid to find some other way to get to heaven, but friends, I'm Paul, like Paul, who says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, he says, "I am not ashamed, because I know whom I believed, and am convinced that He is able to guard that which I have entrusted Him to that day." Like Peter, in that encounter in John chapter 6, it says this, "In hearing this, many of His disciples says, 'This is a hard teaching, who can accept it?' Aware that His disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, 'Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where He was before? The Spirit gives light. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe.' For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them would believe and which of them would betray Him. He went on to say, 'This is why I have told you that no one can come to Me unless the Father has enabled him.' From this time, many of His disciples turned their back on Him and followed Him no longer." And then this passage: "Do you want to leave too?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that You are the Holy One of God." Friend, I'm hanging on to Jesus. I have got nothing else I can hang on to. The closer I get to that occasion, the more I hang on to Jesus. There is no other hope I have other than what Christ has done for me. Why is this important? Friend, why is it important that we know that we're going to heaven and not to hell? Here's the reason, friends. Why is it important? It says this. God says, "This is why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they will never enter my rest. And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Friend, God is not a God to be trifled with. God keeps his word. Friend, don't play with God. This is important stuff. God has promised that if you reject him, you are going to go to hell. Let's just face that reality. But what can we do? Well, there are four things we can do. First of all, respond today. The Bible says, this passage says, so as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice. Not tomorrow, not to the next day. Friend, you don't know when today may end for you. Today may be your last day on earth. Today is the day of salvation. Secondly, this passage tells us, encourage one another. It says, encourage one another daily. Friends, being a Christian's hard. It's not easy. We need constantly to be reminded and encouraged to hang on to Jesus. Friend, if you don't encourage each other, if we don't encourage each other, we will fail. We need each other. We need to support each other. Friend, we need to be in church. We need to be caring for each other. That's why we come to this place. Number three, what must we do? We must hang in there. Verse 14 says, we have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly to the end. And then finally, listen to the voice or for the voice of the Spirit. Friends, the Spirit wants to speak into your heart and life. Won't you listen to him? It's not me speaking. I'm speaking the words of God. All I'm trying to do today is tell you about God's word. It's not my word, just explaining God's word. If the Spirit chooses to use my words, all glory to him. But friend, today is the day of salvation. Don't mess around, friends. God will keep his word. If you reject him, sadly, you'll go to hell. If not, join us. We're hanging on to Jesus, and we're going to heaven. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we can hang on to you. There's no one else for us to trust, Lord, other than you. Help us, Lord, to continue to ensure that it's in you and you alone that we believe. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Well, Lord bless you through the rest of this day.